Robert, and good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I want to start by at least first saying how much I appreciate the opportunity to serve the brethren with whom I am the closest, and to share some thoughts with you. You have those same sentiments when I'm finished. The way to the secret place. Does that conjure up in your mind questions? What is the secret place? How do we get there? Where is it? Do we want to go to the secret place? I like the phrase that was in the manna text that Brother Robert read, the victories of the heart. I think you'll find that that pertains also to my discourse this morning. Let's begin then, and let's see what the scriptures say concerning the secret place. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
As a matter of introduction to this morning's theme text, I'd like to start by first looking at some verses in 1 Peter chapter 4, where we read and are told to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, that no longer should we live our lives to the lusts of men, walking in excesses, in riotings, in abominable idolatries. Jesus says to us in John 15:19, if ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Elsewhere in John we read that we are not of this world, as Jesus was not of this world. Certainly it is clear to us that the Christian is to separate himself from the world. If we then are to turn, or have indeed turned, from the world and the ways of the flesh, to where do we now go? To where are we heading as we withdraw from the ways of the flesh and of the old man? What is our new vision, our new focus in life? If we are not of this world, where then do we dwell? Where does the inner man, the new creature, the Spirit of God dwelling within us, where does it seek to dwell? To where do we turn to find comfort, to find warmth, friendship, a sense of belonging? Certainly the Christian will turn to the ways and to the will of God. The scriptures refer to our new dwelling place in yet several other ways also. In the book of Psalms, we read, God is our refuge and strength. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Thou art my hope, O Lord. Deliver me out of the hand of the wicked. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. And also in our theme text for this morning, Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen to this verse. He that dwells in the secret place, that is, the protected place, or the covered place, the hiding place of the Most High, the highest of the high, shall abide, that is, dwell or continue under the shadow of the Almighty. While the word secret in the Hebrew is also translated as protected, covered, or as a hiding place, the word place denotes a standing. And it is used figuratively as a condition of body or mind. Pastor Russell refers to the secret place as the intimate communion and fellowship that we have with God. We see then that the secret place is not a place at all in the physical sense, but it is a place in the spiritual sense. That is, a place within us, a state, a condition of the inner man. Some refer to it as the conscience, or the Christian conscience, the heart, our spiritual mind, the new creature. I like Pastor Russell's view of the secret place as the condition or place within us where we enjoy intimate communion and fellowship with God. That place where we weigh and ponder the deep things of God. Where we consider the paths of our feet, where we commune with God, where God speaks with us, and we with Him, where He nurtures, where He guides and comforts us, where He reveals Himself to us. That place that we withdraw to inwardly to be alone with our God. Hides us and lifts us above, in a spiritual sense, the difficulties of this life. This, I believe, to be the secret place, as best as our words can define the almost undefinable. Now that we've looked at the what, that is, what is the secret place, let's look at the how, or how do we find the way to the secret place? I see four major components that make up the way to the secret place. And I see four because I think that most of the tools and the gifts that God gives us, has provided for us, fit into one of these four major groups. Now, you might feel that there are other major components. You might feel that some of the items I've grouped into one component should be dealt with separately, and that's fine if you want to break out more. The important thing is that in the end, we both end up in the same secret place, the secret place of the Most High. What I'd like to do to begin is to have you first envision a map that shows us the way to the secret place. And envision this map being torn into four equal pieces. All of these pieces must come together in order for us to find and not to lose our way on our way to the secret place. The four components which I feel lead us to the secret place are faith, study, the Holy Spirit of God, and prayer. Faith, study, the Holy Spirit of God, and prayer. Let's look at each of these. Faith here is faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is faith in the broadest sense of the word. It's all that the exercising of our faith in Christ's ransom sacrifice can mean in the life of a Christian. It's the life-encompassing and life-consuming faith which leads us in patience, in love, in obedience, and in a consecrated walk with God. Let's look at some scriptures on this. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the faith chapter. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. 17, 18, and 21. It's a familiar verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and all things are of... Excuse me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And also Romans 3:24-26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Faith, then, is a key component of the way. Likewise, study. We study that we might gain wisdom and understanding concerning a knowledge of God and his beautiful plan, which when working together with a living faith, manifests itself in the form of consecration to the will of God, the only reasonable response from an appreciative heart. Study builds and enhances our perception and knowledge of God and his ways. The scriptures say, study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That verse is so familiar, I'm going to let you finish it in your own mind. Rightly divided. So. Proverbs 22:17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, that thy trust may be in the Lord. In the book of Colossians, Apostle Paul tells us, the Apostle desires that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might be faithful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says that in God and in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and that we are renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We read earlier in Proverbs, applying thine heart unto my knowledge. Indeed, we say that we love God. And if we do love God, then often will our hearts desire his instruction, his knowledge, his wisdom, and his comfort. Often will the new creature within us drive us to open our Bibles, that we might seek and find peace, instruction, wisdom, the wisdom that is from above. Not because of guilt or obligation, but because the Spirit that is within us truly loves and desires to be with our God. Loving God means more than simply realizing that we need him. Third, let's consider God's gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's power and influence in our lives. It is the power which enables us to go beyond the mere abilities of our flesh, to be begotten of the Spirit, to be transformed in a newness of life. Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that it is by the Spirit that we are able to search the deep things of God, and that the things we know of God came not by our fleshly understanding, but by the Spirit of God within us. And the Spirit is freely given to us, that through it and by it you might know and discern the spiritual gifts God gives us, such as the ability to have the mind of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, Apostle Paul prayed that God would strengthen us with might or enable us by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. There's faith again. That we might know or perceive the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is, that we might fully receive all that God has in mind and in store for his church. Lastly, let's consider prayer, or the intimate spiritual fellowship and communion that we enjoy with God in the Spirit. The type of prayer which leads us to the secret place. By this, I don't mean what we would conventionally think of when we hear the word prayer, but I mean a prayer in the broader sense of it being communion with and meditation upon God. In the manna text from this past Tuesday, January 16th, on being instant in prayer, the comments distinguish between those prayers which we pray openly and those in which we enter our closets and there, alone with God, unburden our hearts. The type of prayer I speak of is less a monologue of things in our own mind and more a quiet, peaceful, and yet focused meditation upon the Lord, opening a channel through which he might fill us and speak to our heart. This is the meditative prayer that comes to mind when we read from the Psalms, Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of the blessed. Psalm 63, verses 5 through 7. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee on my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. And of our Lord we read in Luke 6:12, that after a period of teaching and healing, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. What a privilege we enjoy to leave this world behind and to go to God in prayer. Communicate with the Creator of the universe, to dialogue with him in the Spirit. Now, we might say that this is great, wonderful words. And while faith and its results we know how to pursue, and study we know how to pursue, and the Holy Spirit is freely given to us by God's grace, but we might ask, how do we develop a meditative prayer in our lives, which are always so busy? I'd like to leave you with four suggestions on how we might enrich the times that we have of personal, quiet, peaceful, and edifying communion with our Heavenly Father. The first thing we need for meditative prayer is a cross of time. Ephesians chapter 5 says, we walk circumspectly, that is, with diligence or straight, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming or rescuing from loss the time, because the days are evil. We need time set aside to contemplate and to dwell on God and his word. You might say, but we have so many things to do in this life. Jobs, family. We need to learn to run on the outside, but walk with God in the Spirit on the inside. Learn to seize the small opportunities that we have throughout the day, close our eyes, and think on God's greatness in our day. Don't be so busy that you miss God's most beautiful interventions in your life. Second, we need stillness and quietness. In Psalm chapter 46, after speaking of all the great miracles God had wrought in the earth, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Just be still and observe and think on the miracles God has wrought in the earth and in your life and the miracle that you are. Isaiah 30:15. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The Apostle Peter speaks, "They meet in quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Wouldn't you know that no sooner do we set aside time to be quiet, to be still, to meditate on God, then suddenly all kinds of very critical things jump into our mind. Jobs, family, things we need to do that day, car problems. So what do we do to eliminate these? Holding those up against the background of God's majesty, of everything that God has in store for the church throughout all eternity, will quickly make those things and those troubles and those interruptions be very, very small. If they come back, again, stop, think, hold them up once again to God's great majesty, how soon they will disappear. We need to remember that we are training our inner man to take God's viewpoint of the things of this world. We must refresh our efforts again and again. Third, in meditative prayer, we need seclusion. God wants our undivided attention. The Apostle Paul, after his conversion, went away into Arabia. Jesus, after his baptism, went off into the wilderness. And after that, we read that Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Matthew 6:6 says, "When we pray, to enter our closet, and when we have shut the door, to pray to our Father, which is in secret." We also have other examples from Jesus. Matthew 14:23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Mark 1:35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there prayed." Seek seclusion from the world around us. The fourth and last item to help us in meditative prayer: hear or listen for God. Have our heart tuned not to everything else going on around us, but tuned to God. tuned to have a sensitivity of how God works in our life. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoso findeth me, findeth life. Proverbs 4:20-22, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, for they are light unto those that find them. When we pray in private, listen for God's words to us, to our heart. Cry, waiting for just a minute, silently in your mind. Spend a quiet minute not saying or thinking anything, but those are things concerning God's majesty. See if God has anything to say in your heart. Or welcome God, the psalmist did, read earlier, search me, O God, and know my heart. So, to enable us to pursue meditative prayer, set aside or make time to be with God. Be still, quiet, draw away to a secluded place, and be attentive to the subtle ways God speaks in our heart. Use these aids to maintain intimate fellowship with our Father. Also, to find a way to a secret place, consider faith and all that the exercising of it encompasses in our life. Study that we might increase in our knowledge and understanding God's will. Respond willingly to the enabling power of the Holy Spirit and learn to meditate on and commune with God in prayer. These are the tools that take me to the secret place. If only I could learn how to wander off again since I get there. These are not new thoughts that I shared with you. I merely bring them to your remembrance, into your hearts, freshly into your minds, that you might be strengthened by the Spirit in the end. I've always enjoyed comfort, the joy that Psalms 91 brought. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You also, when you enter this morning, receive the special joy, comfort, peace from reading Psalms 91:1, and I hope that this message has in some way enhanced that comfort. I know that a deeper look at it for me has brought in me a greater joy and greater peace. The Lord has blessed me.
Thank you, Brother Dave, for helping us come up on our way to the secret place. Brother David selected verse 120. If we could all rise and say the first and the last of 120.